Have the joint House and Senate Judiciary Committee meeting come to order. We have a quorum to conduct business. Today is Friday, February 20th, 2009. For the Senate side, we have Senator Elton, Senator Wilkowski, myself, Senator French, Vice Chair Coghill. If you'd introduce your members, please.
Yeah, we have Representative Gruenberg, Representative...
What's his name over here?
Bob Lynn, and Representative...
Holmes.
Representative Lindsey Holmes. Lindsey Holmes. Caught me off guard. See, the senior moment's keeping up on me, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome to my age.
Thank you, Rep. Coghill. And for the record, I don't know... we are being joined now by Senator Terrio. Welcome, Senator Terrio. We've just gotten started. It's not clear to me that the rules require us to have a quorum, and I think some members may have to come and go, but we will be conducting a series of confirmation hearings. I'm really happy that we're doing it in joint session. I appreciate the House making themselves available. I think it's far more efficient for both us and the prospective confirmees. So let's go ahead and get started. I've turned the order around a little bit from the way you have it in your books, out of deference to a pair of doctors we have with us today. And so let's go ahead and begin with Dr. Regina Chenault for the Violent Crimes Compensation Board. Dr. Chenault, are you on the line?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
We can hear you. If you go ahead and introduce yourself, put yourself on the record, we all know you've served for some time with distinction on the Violent Crimes Compensation Board, but tell us why you want to continue to do so.
Thank you very much. My name is Regina Chenault, and I'm a general surgeon in Anchorage, Alaska. And I've served, I believe, 4 or 5 years on the Violent Crimes Board, and I really like what we do on that board. I put a lot of time and effort and actually enjoy working in public service on that board, so I would like to continue for another term.
And just for the record, do you know how long that term is?
4 years, I believe. I think I filled part of a term. There was a vacant physician spot on the board when I started, and I filled part of that person's term.
And how many members on the board, if you know?
3. One physician, one attorney, and one public member.
Doctor, I've met with you so many times and talked to you so many on so many occasions. I'm just thrilled that you're continuing to do this. It is extremely necessary work. The victims of the people who are victimized in the state of Alaska need someone like you looking out for them in that important position. And so those are my comments and questions. I'd turn to the committee, Representative Coghill.
Thank you. And I've also visited with her and some of the issues they have to decide in the compensation board. They get to see some of the toughest things Ms. Chenault's had a very good perspective on this. So I would speak in favor of her, and thank you very much, Regina.
Thank you both very much for those kind comments.
Further questions, Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you. Dr. Chenault, you said you lived in Anchorage, but I see from your resume it says Soldotna, and your practice is in Soldotna.
You must have an old copy. I started in Soldotna, but I relocated to Anchorage about 2 years ago.
I see. Okay.
So I'm sorry that hasn't been updated. I will get that done.
Yeah, that's right. This is dated September 26th, 05.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Further questions from members of the committee? Hearing and seeing none. Representative Lynn.
Well, I'd just like to follow up with the other good comments. I visited Dr. Chenault on several occasions on some interesting matters, and she's been very forthright, very knowledgeable, and just a pleasure to work with.
Thank you, sir.
Then at this time, hearing and seeing no other comments, we have one letter to sign at the end of the hearing with respect to the nominees, but I would solicit a motion to move Dr. Chenault's name onto the full body. Representative Coghill.
So then, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we take and recommend to the respective bodies for the Violent Crimes Compensation Board, Dr. Regina Chenault.
Any objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, Dr. Chenault's name will be passed out of this committee onto the full body. And Dr. Chenault, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time. Have a good day.
You too.
Thank you.
Next up is Doctor Number 2 for the Board of Governors for the Alaska Bar. We have Dr. David Eichler from North Pole. Dr. Eichler, you're here in person. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Nice to see you. Take a seat. Put yourself on the record.
I'm Dr. David Eichler from North Pole, Alaska.
And if you'd like to just tell us a little bit about yourself and why you'd like to have a seat on the Alaska Board of Governors or the bar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been a practicing dentist in North Pole. This is my 16th year, active in the community there. For the last 6 years, I've been a member of the Board of Dental Examiners and enjoyed that service to the state, and that term will expire here in a couple of years, and I just wish to move on in some other aspect of service, and this opening came up and applied for it.
So just for clarity's sake, this would be your first, you would be a new...
new appointee.
You'd be a new appointee. Thanks for the help. You would be a new appointee on the board.
Right.
Very good.
One correction, the application in the packet is from 2002 of my original appointment to the dental board. I did submit an updated application, but it's not here.
Didn't get its way, didn't find its way to the committee. Lost in the bureaucracy of the state, Doctor, I'm sure you can understand those things happen.
Seen it happen.
Sure. Representative Grunberg.
Yes, Doctor. Is there anything that's significantly different on your updated resume?
Not really. I would include my service on the dental board, of course, and the work with that dental examination process. I do some examinations throughout the country at dental schools for initial licensure.
So how long does your term on the dental board last?
How
much longer?
2011.
And would you continue to remain on both boards?
Yes, I would.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Senator Terrio.
Thank you. David, on the application here, I wasn't sure. Here it says, could any member of your family be affected financially by decisions made by the board? And it looks like yes is checked, if the X's are on the right side of the word. And I was just wondering, am I misreading that?
This was an application for the dental board, and yes, that in fact my decisions as a dental examiner affects my income.
Okay.
Potentially, but that is a necessary, that goes with the territory as a professional board where we're self-governed.
But there's no potential for conflict on the,
no,
the,
not on the
bar board. Okay, thank you.
Representative Lynn.
Thank you, Doctor, for coming in. You have quite an interesting background. Just looking at it, apparently you work with animal science, I guess, perhaps going toward being a veterinarian, and then you have a degree in nursing, looks like you were a registered nurse, and then you are a dentist. That's quite a trip through the health science. It takes up about everything. Now we're going into legal work at the bar. It's interesting.
Yeah. That's just the surface, too. There's a whole bunch of other experiences in there.
Stuff that maybe we don't want to know about.
Well, whatever's wrong with me, I can go see you.
Or your dog.
Or my dog.
Senator Terrio.
And you're a pilot.
Yes.
So, Mr. Chairman and Representative Grunberg, all the citizens of Representative Coghill's districts are extraordinary individuals. So.
I was going to declare a little conflict there. You said it well, Senator.
Let me.
I know you two guys, and that they're like you. They definitely are.
Let me just raise one issue that may come before you on your time during your time on the Board of Governors, and I may be the one that brings it to you. So, just to give you a heads up, the Alaska Bar Association sets dues for all the lawyers in the state to pay annually to the bar to make it function, to provide for your services and others. And it's been my contention for some time that the bar dues for new applicants and new entrants into the Bar Association should be lower than those for individuals who've been practicing for a dozen or more years or so. And indeed, in most states across the nation, they do what are known as tiered bar dues, so that young lawyers just out of school pay less than lawyers who've been earning a living for some time. You may have some experience with that in your own practice, having started as a dentist out of school, not making as much as you are now, I don't know. But in any event, I presented this idea in the past to the Bar Association. They have shot it full of holes and sent me running. It may be that I come back someday, but I would just, I'm not going to ask you, to get on board one side or the other. Just wanted to let you know that that's an interest of mine, and it's something that I think that the Bar Association should do someday, and it's likely that you may hear more about this in the future.
Thank you.
Indeed. Other questions or comments? Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just curious, since you're moving from the dental board to this board, if you have any particular thoughts on why you'd want to be on this board in particular, or if there's anything in particular that you were looking to accomplish in your time on the board.
As a public member, I don't have any particular irons in the fire. I enjoyed the process of regulation as a member of the Board of Dental Examiners, and then it would be different as a public member, a public appointee on the Board of Governors for the bar, and that I wouldn't be bringing my professional expertise. So I really have no agenda, so to speak.
And as I recall, the Board of Governors is a fairly large board for the bar. Do you know offhand how large it is?
No, I don't.
And there's no reason why you would. Yeah. We were just discussing as we began the hearing that frequently, particularly the folks who are new to a board, who are coming onto a board, just are frankly motivated out of a desire to serve, don't have a lot of inside knowledge about how it actually functions, and that we would sometimes, I think, be better off as a committee to have the executive director or someone here who could fill us in about those questions, but there's no reason why a new applicant would have that at their fingertips. Other questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Terrio.
One other thing, it kind of touches on the dues issue that you indicated you have an interest in. Unlike the dental board, the Bar Association, due to a court interpretation, sort of operates outside of the normal budgeting process where the legislature controls the expenditures on behalf, or the commissions have to come to the legislature to get authorization to spend the money for the personnel and whatnot. And within the operation of the board, the dues that you collect is supposed to pay for the operation of the board and any kind of sanctions that are imposed on people. The Bar Association sort of operates off budget, and there's always been a little bit of a contention whether that's legitimate or not. We never really have chased that completely to ground. And so over the years, I have heard individual attorneys who have complained about the level of bar dues when the association rolls forward $1 million and people feel like the dues should come down, and the Board of Governors hasn't seen fit to do that. So that's an issue that you might be confronted with, should there ever be a real effort to get that clarified. Exactly why does this entity operate sort of outside the bounds of all the other boards and commissions?
I know Representative Stoltz spent a fair amount of time. The last time the board was up for reauthorization for extending its sunset, Representative Stoltz spent a fair amount of time working on that issue. I was working on the bar dues issue, and I don't know that there was any direct connection, but our dues did come down about $100 this year. So, maybe we work in increments. Those are all the questions I have for Dr. Eichler. Other questions, comments?
I'm just going to make the motion.
Please do.
And thank you for coming to see us face-to-face, Doctor.
Yeah.
And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd move that this body present to their respective bodies for the Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar Association, Dr. David Eichler.
Any discussion on the motion? Opposition to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, Doctor, your name will be forwarded on to the bodies, and thank you, and I do thank you for coming down. It helps to see a person in person. That concludes the Alaska Board of Governors. In keeping with our hopscotch method today, we're going to go to the Alaska Judicial Council now. We've got two applicants there, the first being William F. Clark from Chugiak. Mr. Clark, are you on the line?
I am.
Mr. Clark, if you would go ahead and introduce yourself to us, tell us a little bit, put yourself on the record, tell us a little bit about yourself and your interest in the Alaska Judicial Council, that would be fine.
My name is William F. Clark, and I live in Chugiak, Alaska. I've lived in Alaska for 31 consecutive years. I came here as a pilot in the Air Force at Elmendorf and retired in 1984. I had two combat tours in Vietnam. After I retired from the Air Force, I went to work for an engineering firm in Anchorage, R&M Consultants. Worked there for 16 years. Was asked to be a member of the Anchorage Rotary Club so I could continue my service to the public, which I greatly enjoy. I'm now a senior citizen, and I feel that my life experiences as a senior citizen work well in the Judicial Council. I am by far and away the oldest member of the council. The last thing I could mention is that my oldest son, Craig, is a lawyer and a judge. He took his LLD from Columbia. He is a JAG with the Department of Defense and practices as a civilian lawyer in Pennsylvania. And he really encouraged me to take this job. So that is a Reader's Digest version of my background and my interest. I want to continue to serve. And I think that senior citizens should really become more and more active in the public process, and I want to be part of that.
Now, Mr. Clark, as it happens, we've got nominees today for the Alaska Judicial Council and for the Alaska Commission on Judicial Conduct, which are, in my view, two boards that are frequently have their roles confused with one another. Can you tell us what the Alaska Judicial Council does?
Well, in my understanding, and I haven't served on it that long, the Judicial Council is an advisory body to the governor. It is to take people who have applied, members of the bar who have applied for judicial positions, to evaluate them, to conduct oral interviews with them, and to present to the governor the most qualified list from the group for that particular job, for a particular job. We cannot bring our own biases. We cannot bring our own background judgments. Our job is to make sure that the governor has as broad a spectrum of candidates to choose from. And that's the point of view I'm coming.
So it's fair to say that you're part of the judicial selection process.
Yes.
And have you sat through those proceedings? Have you interviewed judges and participated in the process of passing on names from the applicants to the governor?
I have already.
And how long have you been doing that?
It started in November, and the last group that we screened was for the Supreme Court of Alaska.
So you jumped right into the very highest positions.
Yes, it was baptism by fire, but the group, the Judicial Council, is, in my 70 years of living on the planet, the finest group I've ever worked with. And they made the job, I won't say easy, but they made the job comfortable.
And Mr. Clark, if you can remember from your meetings, just tell us and the public how many members of the Judicial Council there are.
There are six.
Six. Thank you, and I'll just close my questions by saying that I notice you have a bachelor's degree in English literature, and that's something I greatly admire.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
I'll turn it over now to questions from the committee, and I saw Senator Terrio's hand up.
Thank you. I don't remember off the top of my head how many applicants there were for you to review for that that opening on the bench. Can you tell us?
There were six.
And how many names did you forward? Okay, and there's kind of a raging debate on whether it's appropriate for the council to forward all the names that meet a certain threshold of proficiency and expertise, or whether it in fact is the council's job to narrow the complete field down and only forward two or three names to the governor. Do you have a particular position on that?
I do. My point of view is that the governor should be given as large a reasonable list as can be given. And that requires, of course, setting a threshold, evaluating the candidates. Anyone can apply. But the council still has to screen out candidates that have viable capabilities to function on the bench. And I think that should be as broad as possible, so that the governor has as large a spectrum of candidates to choose from. And that's where I'm coming from in my function on the council.
Okay, and then also there's some concern that the process can sometimes be so bruising that people, once they try it and get beat up, they don't try again. And I think that there, in the past, there have been some people that for whatever reason have scored very highly on the bar poll, things of that nature. Their names don't get forwarded, and so they kind of withdraw and don't apply again, which I think is a shame. I'm just wondering if you have any idea how you can make the process perhaps a little kinder, gentler. Doesn't necessarily mean that you don't want to really scrutinize people and ask tough questions, but when you've got anonymous polls, the bar polls, where people can submit anonymous comments, I know in the past there's been allegations that it's just people's opportunity to just savage folks and not really make meaningful comments on their whether they'd be good on the bench or not, but really they may have crossed them in litigation in the past, and it's an opportunity to just get them. And I'm just wondering if you have any idea how that that system can be improved.
Well, I agree with you on your observations on the anonymous comments. In my own personal interviews, and I've noticed with other members of the council, anonymous comments are not used. They're available to be used, and they're, of course, known to the person being interviewed. But from my own personal point of view, I discount them entirely. If a person can't sign a comment, I'm not going to accept it or bring it up in an interview. I've also noticed among the council members that they truly go out of their way to make the interviews as, for lack of a better word, user-friendly as possible. They have been very courteous to the people who have been interviewed, and truly very encouraging. No one has been pilloried. There have never been any sharp exchanges. It's a very, very cordial, welcoming atmosphere, and that's one of the things that really pleased me about the committee. And from my own point of view, I try to do this myself. The bar polls, I agree with you, they can be skewed, but in my limited experience, this has been easy to identify and easy to figure out. And when that occurs, it's taken into account when interviewing someone. The other thing I noticed about the council is that when members come up for a second or a third time, the interviews start out, welcome, we're glad to see you here again. This is very encouraging to the people. Also, it's not out of line to have the Judicial Council encourage people who have applied again or other people who haven't applied to go ahead and apply. This is provided for in the administrative procedures of the council. So there are many mechanisms open, and the council itself has truly been cordial. And I walked into it cold. I had no idea what to expect. And I was truly impressed by the professionalism and the cordiality of the other five members. I've learned a great deal from them. Did that answer your question? Or?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Other questions from members of the committee for Mr. Clark?
Yes. Oh, I'll defer to
Senator Wilikowski and then Representative Greenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Clark, do you? There's been some talk about changing the Constitution to change the way that we select judges, and do you have a position on that?
I do. I know that judges can be elected, and judges can be selected through this method. My personal opinion of it is that the method we have right now that was set up by our constitutional framers is a very good one. I wouldn't change it because it allows the governor to be advised by a group consisting of half professionals and half laymen. And then later on it allows the public through votes of retention to comment on the quality of the judges. And I think that's a good, well-balanced system as opposed simply to having a system where you elect judges. I think that's a really good management procedure to employ for the judiciary.
Thank you. Yeah, and I appreciate your thoughtfulness on that. And let me just ask you, when you're evaluating judges, can you sort of go through the process that you engage? I mean, how do you evaluate judges or potential judges, I guess?
Mm-hmm. We're provided with a great deal of material, and there's a data file that's also given to us that's numerical. I try to get the total picture of the person, and this includes everything. This includes the educational background of the person, the degrees the person has, especially outside the law, and I also focus on what the person has done in continuing education in the practice of law. And that's spelled out. There are some people that are really avid about it. The last adjudication we had, there was one candidate, I can't remember his name, good grief, it went on for a page and a half of courses that the person had taken. That's one thing I focus on, is how seriously the person is attempting to educate him or herself. The other thing is going over pro bono experience. Looking at that. The other thing is looking at the spectrum of experience the person has had as a prosecutor and as a defender. That's very important in the balance of how the person will operate on the bench, what kind of experience he brings. There's also the question of civil and criminal experience. And and the counsel looks for a balance in that type of background. These are factors that we all put together, and when it comes time to discuss the candidates, these are some of the major points that are brought up. Are there any holes in the person's background, any holes in the person's experience? And we carefully look at that and make sure that when that name is sent to the governor, we have a balanced person that can function on the bench to the satisfaction of the governor, well, to the satisfaction of the people. That's in 30 seconds. That's what we're looking for.
And I appreciate that, Mr. Chair. If I could just follow up. And do you have any sort of litmus tests, or do you look at a candidate's political ideology in making your decision in any way?
No, I think that's out of place for the council. That's for the governor. The governor is the appointing authority. The governor has to take responsibility. My job is to promote those people to the governor, recommend those people to the governor who have the professional background to do the job. And this could include people of different persuasions. And I think in the main, the board is blind to that. And that the list that we present to the governor is a professional list, and then the governor conducts interviews of the individual candidates and can ask whatever questions at that point, knowing that the people are professionally qualified. And then if the governor wants to add discriminators, that's up to the governor and the personal interviews.
Okay.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the past, you've just served, as I understand it, sir, since last November. And I'm wondering if you have had any contact with a group called Alaska Judicial Observers, which in the past has been one of the groups that has provided information on how judges conduct courtroom proceedings. Are you familiar with a group of Alaska Judicial Observers?
No. I haven't been contacted with them. Or by them, I'm sorry.
Okay. Secondly, I see that you were a director with R&M Engineering Consultants Incorporated. Were you also a shareholder?
No, I never was.
Okay. Third, did I hear you right in saying that you believe that the Judicial Council should send up to the governor all nominees?
no, I don't think that all nominees should be sent up if, in the opinion of the council, that some of them were not viable candidates. By viable candidates, I mean competitive for the type of job coming open. The reason being is because when the positions come open, anyone can apply. And it's the council's job to, in the process of interviewing and reviewing the material, to set a threshold above which those candidates who can qualify should be presented to the governor. So the governor is guaranteed that the professional background and the professional experience and education of the individuals are adequate to the job. And in some cases, we find applicants who are not. This is not prejudicial to the applicants. It's a matter of time served in the legal profession and the different types of jobs, the different type of background the person brings. Did that answer your question?
It does.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, and thank you for clarifying that.
Further questions from the committee for Mr. Clark? Representative Lynn.
I don't actually have a question. I just like to, I see you served in Vietnam. I just like to say welcome home.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. And let me just add, I'm sure glad to be home. My two oldest sons were in the Marine Corps, and both served in aviation in the Marine Corps, and I'm glad to have them back here, too.
And if I may, just personal information, I see you're a pilot. You flew combat missions in Vietnam?
I did. I was a FAC in Vietnam, a forward air controller.
Would that be, what did you call it, call sign Covey by chance?
Yes.
Well,
yes, as a matter of fact, I was.
Well, this is Panama 1 speaking. excuse me, it's Peacock 1 speaking and Panama 5.
Well, you got to be kidding.
Okay.
I was Covey 5-9. And then about 6 months later, they changed all our call signs. The prefix was the same, and I became Covey 017.
I would appreciate it if you give me a call sometime.
Well, for heaven's sakes. Well, lightning strikes close to home.
Peacock one out.
All right.
I feel a motion coming on. But
okay.
Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you.
Yeah, hit my smoke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just on the issue of who gets sent to the governor, because that is, I think, a real important issue. And I think I was very impressed by your answer on how you evaluate things and how you look at the professionalism and the qualifications and the expertise and the experience and the continuing education. And I think that's the way it should be. I think that's how we should select our judges. And then I guess I'm just curious. If the commission's goal is to send on the most qualified, the most educated, the best people to be judges who have such important roles in our society, it seems that expanding that to include lesser qualified people politicizes it, because you also said that, well, your job is not to be political, that's the governor's job. And if you're sending less qualified people to the governor, then we are opening this up to politics, which is exactly what I think we want to avoid in our judicial selection.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Can you expand on that, or did I hit that right?
Well, I think that's where I was coming from when I was answering an earlier question, that we can provide a list of qualified professionals and not selecting them from the point of view of an ideological or a philosophical point of view, that we have to concentrate on what the person offers professionally. And the governor at that point has an opportunity to conduct interviews, which the present governor has been doing, and on the basis of those interviews, applying whatever she wanted to know about the person. And I haven't been privy to any of those interviews. I have no idea what has been asked. But I'm satisfied that the council is doing its job. It's being careful not to apply any type of political litmus test to what's been sent to the governor, and that the governor at that point is required to make a decision, because the governor has the ultimate responsibility for the appointment. The council has no authority or appointing faculties whatsoever.
Further questions from the committee for Mr. Clark? Hearing and seeing none, I would solicit a motion.
Sure, and thanks to the public member for serving. I think those are good balances and eyes. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we forward William F. Clark for consideration to the respective bodies for the Alaska Judicial Council.
Discussion on the motion? Opposition to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, Mr. Clark, thank you so much for being with us today. Your name will be forwarded on to the House and the Senate for confirmation to the Judicial Council.
All right. Do you want me to continue on the phone, or?
You no, you're free. You're free to go, sir. Thanks again. Thanks for being here.
All right. Thank you.
But do call me.
Do please. Call Representative Lynn, and we'll get an update from him. Great.
How much time do you have?
next up is Kathleen Tompkins Miller from Fairbanks, who is also asking to be appointed to the Judicial Council. Ms. Tompkins Miller, are you on the phone?
Yes. Hello, I am.
Welcome. Good afternoon. Please state your name for the record. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why it is you'd like to serve on the Judicial Council.
Okay. I am Kathleen Tompkins Miller. I currently live in Fairbanks and have lived up here for the past 7 years. I work part-time for my husband's law firm as a secretary paralegal. I also attend UAF part-time as a student, and I was excited to be given this opportunity to serve on this council because I believe that the judiciary is very important to Alaskans. I believe that selecting good judges are critical to both good government and good communities. But I'll have to say that with Mr. Clark, he gave me a great introspect into what they do. I've read up quite a bit on them. I've been in contact with Mr. Cohn as well as Jim Cannon. They have both graciously reached out to me so far. I am the new member that is hopefully going to be coming on. And in my looking at the description of the Judicial Council member, one of the things that actually excites me most is the research projects, because I am a firm believer in therapeutic courts.
Thank you. And I should ask you, do you go by Tompkins Miller, or shall I just call you Ms. Miller, or what makes you comfortable?
Ms. Miller is fine.
Very good.
All the stuff I do with the court, I use Tompkins, but Ms. Miller is fine.
Very good. So just so I know, it sounds as if you have not participated in meetings yet. You have not joined the council, and you would be filling a new position or filling a currently open position.
That is correct, a new position.
And just for my information, when you meet, does the council meet in Anchorage, and would you therefore be traveling there from Fairbanks to participate in meetings?
Actually, it's my understanding that the council meets at wherever the vacancy is open, and so we will be, for instance, living in Fairbanks, if a vacancy was opening in Anchorage, we would go down there, and, you know, Kodiak, wherever it would be. So there is some travel.
Interesting. Okay, I didn't know that about the council. Questions for Ms. Miller from the members of the committee? Representative Coghill.
First of all, thank you for responding to the request to serve. You heard some of the questions on the criteria. Did you have anything that you wanted to add on the selection of professional criteria or anything like that? Is there anything that you heard the last interview that you wanted to add to?
No, actually, I thought that Mr. Clark would have answered or did answer what I would have answered. I believe that we look at their qualifications, and we put forth the people that we feel as the council are the most qualified for the governor.
And thank you. Since she hasn't had the baptism of fire yet, I guess it's early to tell. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Miller, you are currently working in your husband's law office. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So you must come into contact with a fair number of attorneys during your time there.
I actually do, and I have been fortunate to be in contact with them, a lot of them, since they were students. I attended Yale Law School with my husband 17 years ago. I myself personally didn't, but I noticed on there that we'll be reading writing samples on the council, and I've read a few of those from students clear up to today for other attorneys.
So you're familiar with the legal world?
Yes, I am.
Certainly. I guess you did have the benefit of being preceded by Mr. Clark, who gave sort of thorough answers to most of our questions, and I guess I'd rephrase Representative Coghill's question a slightly different way. Was there anything he said that you disagree with?
Well, not necessarily, other than it's my understanding there are 7 members on the council, not 6. I believe that the Chief Justice is also considered a member as the chairperson.
Okay. I appreciate the clarification. That's helpful. Any other substantive nuances you'd like to address regarding your role, your function in the selection process?
Well, I believe as a public member, the exciting thing about me is that I feel that I'm going to bring a broad perspective. I have lived in Anchorage, I have lived in Tok, Alaska, and like I said, currently in Fairbanks. I have been to both rural communities, I have visited with different Native people, and I've also, my husband was a former magistrate, and so I've been able to see things through, many different eyes. I just think that I'll bring a good perspective. I'm a mom. I'm active in my community, and pretty much on a regular basis, I deal with people and their legal problems and issues. So I sometimes think I might even have a better perspective than an attorney does.
Excellent. Any other questions for Ms. Miller? Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. I note that your husband wrote an article entitled Op-Ed from Lead Attorney in Alaska Trooper Gate Lawsuit. Are you familiar with that article?
I am somewhat familiar with it, yes.
Does that represent your views as well?
Not perhaps 100%. People who know me as well as those that know my family, I myself come from a varied family, and I am able to stand alone. And my views. Not necessarily do I always share Joe's views. I do appreciate, though, his input in things. I believe he's a very smart man, but I certainly make my own decisions.
No, through the chair. No, I wasn't asking generally. I was just more looking at what was stated in there. The reason I'm asking is because relates to the role of the legislature vis-a-vis other branches of government, and I'm wondering if your views on what the role of the judiciary should be. Do you favor what's called a strict constructionist judiciary, or a judiciary that would not be considered that, for example?
Personally, I just believe that, whoever's most and well-qualified for the judiciary would have to go forward. Honestly, I'd have to look at that piece again. There's so many things that Joe does that I might briefly look at, but I honestly have quite a life outside of a lot of those things, so I don't remember everything in that piece or what it was about. I have to apologize for that.
And I apologize, too, for getting into more the nitty-gritty. My real question is,
okay,
do you believe that a candidate's political or judicial philosophy should influence whether they are sent up to the governor on the one hand, whether they should be retained by the public on the other hand? What part should their philosophy play in whether they are or are to remain on the bench?
I believe that politics are absolutely out of this, and I believe that I myself will not bring any ideology to this council, and I do not believe that a judge who's going to, that I will send forward. I understand the magnitude of, sending a person forward for this position should not bring that into play either. You feel that they need to be able to apply the law fairly with absolutely no biases.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further questions? Representative Lynn.
I might just say that after almost 56 years of marriage, My wife certainly does not share all my views.
Ditto. Other questions for Ms. Miller? Hearing and seeing none, I'd solicit a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Coghill.
And with appreciation for Ms. Kathleen Tompkins Miller stepping up and being willing to serve, I move that the body send to the respective bodies nomination of Kathleen Tompkins Miller to the Alaska Judicial Council.
Discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion. Hearing and seeing none, Ms. Miller, thank you very much for being here today. Your name will be forwarded on to both bodies for eventual vote for confirmation. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Have a nice day.
Let's turn now to the Commission on Judicial Conduct, similar but distinct body. And we have two applicants. The first is Chris Brown from Anchorage. Mr. Brown, are you on the line? No, Mr. Brown. Next up is Jan Ostrovsky. Mr. Ostrovsky, are you on the line?
I am.
Welcome to the committee. Please put yourself on the record. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you'd like to serve on the Commission on Judicial Conduct.
Thanks. Well, my name's Jan Ostrovsky. I did want to mention that there's a resume that you have, that you folks have there, that doesn't include my public service or my service with the bar, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that, because that has a lot to do with why I want to do this. I was one of the founders of the bankruptcy section of the Alaska Bar. I've been a member of the Committee on Bar Examiners. I've been a member of the fee arbitration panel here. I've been a member of the ABA Task Force on Attorney Discipline. And all of those things I found interesting, the service I found rewarding. And I think something like this, I think this in particular, would also be interesting and rewarding. The other thing I'd like to mention, I think it's obvious, it's a fairly important position in the sense that the Alaska judiciary is a pretty good one, and a lot of that, it's a very good one, actually, and a lot of that has to do with the method of selection. I just heard Mr. Clark's testimony, and, you know, that gives me a pretty good idea of why the judiciary is so good. I think this is an important part of seeing to it that the judiciary stays good and stays respected, stays ethical, stays impartial, and I'd be proud to serve on this commission.
And if you would maybe just draw for the public's distinction and for our distinction the difference between the judicial council and the Commission on Judicial Conduct.
Well, the Commission on Judicial Conduct hears complaints against sitting judges. It doesn't have anything to do with the appointment of judges. It largely has to do with either determining or, I suppose, setting up for decision by the Supreme Court issues with regard to complaints of the judges. It also issues, I guess, advisory opinions and ethical opinions concerning judicial conduct.
So it's in essence a disciplinary board.
Yes.
And just for the committee's information, have you been serving in an interim capacity prior to your appointment?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever? I know this sounds wrong, but have you ever appeared in front of the commission? Have you, you know, participated in a commission hearing or watched their proceedings or made yourself familiar?
Oh no, I'm afraid I haven't had anything to do with them in the past.
It's probably the safe answer. I'll just say for my part, Mr. Ostrovsky, I looked your resume over. It's long. It's distinguished. I think the commission would be lucky to have you as a member. But I'll turn it over now to other members of the committee for questions, comments, or observations. Senator Terrio.
Are you related to Larry Ostrovsky?
Well, I'm proud to say he's my brother.
That's all I need to know.
I actually had the same question. Thank you, Senator Terrio. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can see, Mr. Ostrovsky, that you're very well qualified for this. But I did just have a technical question.
Sure.
I see under your part of your resume where you work for Crocker, Kuno, was one of the partners. It says you have an AVVO rating. Is that Martindale Hubble AV?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Is that good?
Would you explain that?
Yeah, that is, Mr. Chair, that's actually the best rating a lawyer can have.
Thanks for that information. Further.
Representative Grunberg, there are two different ratings there. There's the Martindale Hubble rating is AV. There is another rating service called AVO, AVVO, and that's a different rating, and that rating's superb. That was my rating in Washington. AVO does not rate Alaska attorneys at this point.
I was wondering, in the field of family law, there were only about three lawyers in the state who had an AV rating, and I'd never heard of the AVVO. So that's what.
Yeah, it's a different system, and I'm sorry if that's confusing on the resume.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. He may be confused because if you look a couple of lines up, there's an AV rating under the top line. So I believe both are correct.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks for the clarification. Other questions or comments from members of the committee? I see folks are shaking their heads, Mr. Ostrovsky. Thanks again so much for being here today. At this point, I would solicit a motion. Representative Coghill.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we forward Mr. Jan Ostrovsky's name for appointment to the Commission on Judicial Conduct to our respective bodies.
Discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, thank you so much for being here today, Mr. Ostrovsky. Your name will be passed on to both bodies for a confirmation at a later date.
Well, thank you, folks, very much.
That brings us to the end of the hearings today. I've gotten a note that Mr. Brown is out sick and will not be calling in today. We have a letter with all the names on it, and I guess my preference at this point would be to not hold the other nominees up that we've discussed and voted on. We'll, if the members don't mind, I'll have you sign this letter, and then we'll prepare a new cover sheet that just has the five people we spoke to today. Is that agreeable to the members? Senator Wilkowski. Yeah.
So the applicant who we have not interviewed will not be forwarded on? We'll take that up at a separate time? Okay,
thank you. We haven't spoken to him. Any objection to that course of action? Hearing and seeing none, we'll adjourn. Please don't leave without signing the letter, and we'll get you a new cover sheet in accordance with the discussion and the votes here today in the near future.
Do we need separate letters?
No, we did it.
We're going to do it one letter.
Okay.
We are adjourned.
As long as we have one for each body.